Welcome to the Pixel People Podcast, where we go beyond the quest lines to discover the backstories and motivations of our favorite video game NPCs to better understand them and ourselves. I'm Amelia, also known as Fire Rider, and each episode I'm chatting with a special guest about a character they find particularly interesting. Since we're taking a close look at how these characters impact the story, please be aware that spoilers are likely. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome to Pixel People. I'm Amelia, aka Fire Rider, and my guest today describes himself as a furry queer geek who enjoys a variety of RPGs, including the one we'll be talking about today. Soy, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. You do like a variety. It's really cool. I like a variety too. I used to be so much more of a one game person, and now I'm just like, give me all the games.
I tend to like hyper fixate on a single game for a while.
Yeah.
It's also, I have a lot of trouble remembering like key bindings. I'm going in between two different games. It takes me like an hour to adjust each time. So
I had to like teach myself how to do that for streaming because, especially if I'm switching, like, it's not a hard switch between, you know, like, a game, like, Bethesda games, they're very similar, but if I go from, like, Bethesda to BioWare, or Bethesda to, CD Projekt Red, or something,
yeah,
I have no idea what my hands are supposed to do. Anyway, sorry about that. So, speaking of role-playing games, though, who is the character that you're bringing for us today, and what game are they from?
All right, so I'll start with the game. I'm talking about the Kingdom Hearts series, and I'm talking about Axel, a.k.a. Lee, and why he is a soft boy, and I love him.
Do you know how popular I am? I got loads of people rooting for me. Sorry, boss. No one axes Axel. Got it memorized?
I love it. So Kingdom Hearts is... So I have not played Kingdom Hearts yet. And there's a reason for that. Because it is so big and sprawling that it's very intimidating. So,
honestly, yes. Yeah.
So I know I need to. And I very much want to. And I will. So this will probably be what gives me the good kick in the pants to do it, because that has happened a few times now.
Understood.
So with that in mind, and I know that this is a very big question, what role does Axel play in the overall kind of story of the game?
So starting with a chronological order, which me and Fire had the discussion about whether to go release order or chronological order, because Kingdom Hearts is a mess. And so at first, when you meet Axel, he is going by Lee, and that is L-E-A, to clarify for people who are not looking at titles and all that business. And he is probably in his like mid-teens when the protagonist of Birth by Sleep, which is I think the earliest game you play on the timeline. I know there's other like side business stuff, but I don't know if it's actual gameplay or if it's just like trailer theater nonsense. But anyway, yeah, there are three different characters that you can play in Birth by Sleep. And it is Ventus, Aqua, and Terra. And at one point, each of these characters, I think, meets Lee. Ventus, for sure. Ventus meets Lee in Radiant Garden, I believe. Which, if you've only played Kingdom Hearts 1, as some people have, Hollow Bastion. Hallowed Bastion used to be referred to as Radiant Garden, and then is referred to it again later. And So Lee and his friend Issa are teens having a good time in this Radiant Garden place. And Ventus, in the middle of his quest of trying to save the world, meets these kind of carefree teens and, you know, has a couple conversations with them, but they don't play too much of a role until later on, with everything in Radiant Garden's location. A lot of the other characters you meet there eventually go on to become part of the Organization 13, which are the, like, big baddie group in Kingdom Hearts 2. And that includes Lee, who then, at some point along the way, becomes a nobody. And nobodies in Kingdom Hearts lore are people who have become a Heartless, if they're like special, you know, main character syndrome, I guess, get a also nobody. So Heartless tend to be more like the little kind of like black form creatures that run around, while nobodies can sometimes be more of a white color scheme of creature, or sometimes they are looking exactly like humans. And the key difference being is that, like, they don't feel any emotion. They just kind of go through, and that's part of the reason why they're called nobody, is they just go through the motions and, like, do the thing. Do their thing.
I'm so glad that you explained that, because when I was doing the background reading just to, you know, get a better understanding of the character, the nobody aspect jumped out at me, but there wasn't really a good explanation for it. So thank you for that. Was something I wanted to ask you, so thank you for answering
and
it.
And I'm trying to be a little broad with this, because I'll try to go more into detail when we start talking about Axel's story itself.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm sure you could just, I'm sure that there are volumes filled already.
I'm just trying to go into the relationship, but anyway.
No, I get it. You're great.
From Birth by Sleep, he is a random kind of character you come across. At some point, he becomes a nobody, as I explained. And then in Kingdom Hearts 2, you start off playing as a character named Roxas. And you're talking about a fun summer hanging out with your friends between school, and like you're trying to remember, I think the main goal of that first portion is like, oh, we're trying to make money to like go to the beach before summer ends. It's super carefree and fun, and all of a sudden, like, you're in the middle of like fighting the town bullies, and everything in the world seems to stop. And all of a sudden comes this guy in a like skin tight black trench coat with chains, kind of kinky looking. And black hooded figure comes out and is like, yo, what's up? And Rox is like, I don't know, man, what the heck's going on? And the guy's like, you don't remember me? You don't know who I am? And it turns out that is Axel. And in between this, which now, even as I said, we're trying to go chronological, I skipped over Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories and Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days, which happens pretty much, what's the word I'm looking for? Parallel? Those games happen parallel to each other.
Interesting.
In Chain of Memories, when you're playing as Sora in that part, who Sora is generally the main character of the series, he comes across Axel in the castle of, I forget honestly what it's called. I'm gonna call it Castle of Memories because that's fitting. Works for me. This big castle where he's going up staircases and reliving his memories. and he comes across Axel and some other Organization 13 members who are either trying to stop him or help him, depending on who we're talking about. And then in 358 over 2 days, this is where the part relevant to Roxas comes in. Roxas is the main character of 358 over 2 days and is a new member of the Organization 13 who Axel has taken under his wing to train. And throughout the game, they become very close friends. And then at the end of that game, Roxas, something happens to him and he forgets pretty much everything that happened. And that's why now when we get to Kingdom Hearts 2, he doesn't remember who Axel is and Axel is hurt. He's like,
wow, okay. Bro,
we were best of friends. Axel's showing up to Roxas to try to get him to come back to the organization. And meanwhile, Roxas has no idea what's going on. So then, this whole point, as I had said, like time had frozen, Guy shows up, time comes back to normal, and Guy is gone. Roxas continues on, eventually kind of picking up the pieces and remembering, oh, I know who you are. And I remember kind of that we were friends, but I'm not going to go back to the organization. Mm-hmm. I left it. And then the end of like the first act of Kingdom Hearts 2, Roxas disappears and Sora's the main character now. Spoiler alert, Roxas is Sora's nobody. So, yeah, dun-dun-dun! Which, then, throughout Kingdom Hearts 2 afterward, Axel has a complicated relationship with Sora, because Sora's, if Sora were to perish? Question mark? Or, I guess, go into some catatonic state again, because the reason we were playing as Roxas was Sora was basically in a coma. And then that's why Roxas was out and about. But when Sora wakes up, Roxas disappears. And again, I'm explaining it as I interpret it. I'm sure there's more lore nonsense of like, the dream pod is not actually a coma, but I know there's this weird like simulation aspect to the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2, but
whoa,
I don't even know with all that. But so throughout the rest of the Kingdom Hearts 2 gameplay, you keep coming across Axel, and he goes from being antagonistic to helpful, and end of the game, Axel dies protecting Sora, which is like this whole thing of like, hey, you know, I really wish I got to see my best friend again, but at least like I can help you because you're basically him. And
yeah, so is this kind of it strikes me that this is kind of the story of a redeemed villain.
Yes, especially because he comes back. He doesn't actually die.
Of course.
And
another dun, 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 dun. Dun,
and then things between Kingdom Hearts 2 and Kingdom Hearts 3 happen, and I believe that is recoded and Dream Drop Distance. I think those are the only two that happen.
Okay.
I didn't play Dream Drop Distance at all. So the only things I know about it, which I looked up after, because I went from Kingdom Hearts 2 to Kingdom Hearts 3, pretty much. And I was like, oh, what's all this now? all these things happened. And I have no idea what I'm doing. So I looked it up. In Dream Drop Distance, a good chunk of the Organization 13 split, basically. And there were ones who were like, hey, even though they all die in Kingdom Hearts 2, they kind of get brought back. And half of them are like, yo, that was kind of messed up. Like, we didn't mean to be bad guys. We were just kind of like doing our thing, and it just so happened to be bad. So we're going to help the good guys and do our thing.
That's funny.
Yeah. And as such, somehow, again, I don't know the full details of this. They come back, and now they're people forms that we saw in Birth by Sleep, basically. Except, you know, Axel is not teenage Lee that we saw in Birth by Sleep, but adult Lee now. Axel, but not Axel. And as such, he looks basically the same, except he had these, like, tattoos under his eyes that look like teardrops, which
okay, yeah,
which is a little cringe. But I guess that's why in Kingdom Hearts 3 they're like, we're gonna get rid of that design choice and just say it's because he's not a nobody anymore.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And they kind of refer to it in Kingdom Hearts 3 at a different point, which I'll bring up later. But then throughout Kingdom Hearts 3, you're again playing as Sora, and Axel is learning to become a Keyblade Master. My boy got chosen to be a Keyblade Master. Cool. There's a select few that can become Keyblade Masters, so it's special. Yay.
Okay.
So he's learning with Kairi, who is like generic female love interest who sadly never gets much attention to develop on her own. But okay. Yeah, she's Sora's love interest. And they're both kind of training to be Keyblade wielders. And so he's just kind of off to the side while Sora's doing all his things. And eventually, once the story actually happens, because this is the big gripe with Kingdom Hearts 3, was that it felt like the story doesn't really happen until the end of the game, because a lot of it's like, oh, look, we're in the Disney worlds. Yay. Yay, Disney worlds. Whereas in the previous games, at least it was like Disney world story, you know, it was kind of mixed in there.
Okay.
I
see it. Okay.
So at the end, Axel fights bad guys with everybody else. It's basically the gang's all here, and they get basically every good character from all the games to fight all the bad characters from all the games. And
yeah,
it comes to a beautiful scene where Axel's reunited with friends and all that business. And okay. At the end of Kingdom Hearts 3, Sora has disappeared because he sacrifices himself to save Kairi, but I know Sora's going to be back. It's like, cool, alright. This means nothing to me, game. Now I'm just complaining about Kingdom Hearts 3, but the ending is otherwise very beautiful. You know, everyone's playing on the beach, people are happy, and Sora's gone, as it should be. But, yes. I just get so tired of Sora. Just so tired of him. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
So, as a overarching thing, Axel's role is to be good, then be antagonist, and then be good again.
Okay.
It's a lot. Kingdom Hearts is just a lot.
Yeah, that's really, it certainly seems like, it reminds me of like something like, you know, Final Fantasy or Elder Scrolls, you know,
and just the Kingdom Hearts is massive extent from the of lore. Same studio as Final Fantasy. So that's part of it. To the point where I know.
Yeah.
I know Liger did Sephiroth with you. I don't know if you've done other Final Fantasy characters, but Sephiroth does.
New did Celeste.
The one from 13. Early on, yeah. Is that it? I don't know. I don't know Celeste.
Celeste is in six. Or three American.
I see.
Yeah, Celeste.
Okay. Well, Sephiroth and other Final Fantasy characters do play a part in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's one of the things that fascinates me about it is the massive extent of crossover. My oldest, I don't know, I think it's Kingdom Hearts 3. I remember he was playing it and I was watching him play, and there was a point where the game went into a cutscene. Yeah. And that cutscene turned into what felt like a full-length movie.
It really do be that way.
And I was like, whoa. There's a lot more happening in this game than I knew. But it was, that was like my main introduction to it, was when he listened to it. So, but I still haven't had a chance. But it's fascinating, though. I mean, it sounds just absolutely amazing. And so when we were chatting beforehand, we were talking about what Axel's story might kind of represent, and you brought up legacy, the desire to leave a legacy, the desire to have people know who you are, remember you. Did you want to talk about that a bit?
So, for sure, trying to go now in that chronological order again. Starting with him as a teenager and Ventus, which I forgot to mention, Ventus looks exactly like Roxas also. Like, literally it's just Roxas. And so that's part of the reason why when 358 over 2 days happens, which is a fun thing to say over and over again. That's going to be fun. 358 over 2 days. Your training.
That's the name of the event. Yes.
When he meets Roxas and has to train him, he's like, oh, you look like that one guy I met back when I was a teenager. That's weird. Mm-hmm. And he becomes good friends with him in there, and I think he's aware that they are different people. Like he's not thinking that, oh, this is the guy that I knew. And he in 358 over 2 days also is training another new person named Shion, which she is also Sora's nobody, question mark. She's I think supposed to be a clone of, like, not an identical clone, but a clone of Sora and nobodiness, like, which to the point, if it's not been obvious by me saying different characters' names, when they're a nobody in Organization 13, they just throw an X in there in the name. So and scramble letters around. Okay. So that's why Roxas is Sora.
Okay.
And Axel is
an Axel is Lee.
With the L-E-A.
With the A. Yep. Okay. Got it. Okay. I noted, you know what's so funny, when I was doing the reading, I was like, gosh, a lot of these names have X's in them. It didn't occur to me that there was a reason for that. So that's actually really cool.
So Shion, if you take out the X, that's I-O-N. And if you think about it, it's supposed to be no one instead of an I. No one.
Oh.
Because she's technically not an actual person or something along those lines.
Okay.
And so Axel becomes very good friends with these two younger trainees, Roxas and Shiel. And it is a little awkward looking, especially when I was looking back at it playing Kingdom Hearts 3, because Shion comes back. And like the joyful reunion, they hug and they cry. And then I'm like, Axel's like 2 times taller than these kids. So he looks like a grown adult hugging children and cry. And so I'm like, okay, this is a little awkward looking now that I think about it, but okay. Even though I think the age difference, because, you know, it's also very anime. And anime ages are non-existent. Again, this is based off what I'm guessing is Axel's probably late teens, early 20s. Well, at least canonically, Roxas is supposed to be around 15 or 16. He just small.
Okay.
And Shion is also just small. So so he mentors them. There's a ton of cute situations of like, oh, they go and do their day's work and then they go eat ice cream together on top of the clock tower. It's very cute looking aesthetics. And at the end of the game, the reason I'm bringing up all this in regards to legacy is Shion disappears from existence. Everyone also forgets who Shion is. And I had linked one video to you, Fire, which was the whole I'm gonna bring you back. You can keep running, but I'm gonna bring you back. And that was in reference to Shion, because she was trying to run away and Axel had to bring her back. Similar to in Kingdom Hearts 2, Axel had to bring back Roxas. And so the original theming that I had wanted to do with Axel was just in general about friendship, and I was going to tie it in with also this abandonment kind of thing, which does tie into memory and legacy, because oftentimes these people are leaving him behind. And he's like, guys, what about me? Like, I know you guys have to do your own thing, but like, you know, I want to be part of it too. And the whole idea of like you seeing how hurt Axel is in Kingdom Hearts 2 when Roxas doesn't remember him, it's very like visceral, more so even when toward the end of the part with Roxas, he pretends to remember because he's trying to get Axel to like not attack him. He's like, well, you wouldn't fight me. We're like best friends, right? and Axel like, his face is just like, oh my god, oh, you remember me. And but also knowing that, well, okay, like, awesome, you remember me, but like, you know, I gotta be sure and ask him like, who's our boss, you know, like what's our boss's name here at the organization? And then like literally just deadpan awkward silence from Roxas, and Axel's like, okay, I see how it is. Okay, cool. Cool, you know, just play with me like that. All right. Exactly. Ouch. And I mean, in general, even like Axel's catchphrase, which you'd see in a lot of the things I send you, is got it memorized.
Yeah, I saw that. It's kind of funny, too. When I was, noticing that, it cracked me up because as I was, as we were scheduling and as I was, talking about, I'm looking forward to talking with Zoe, we're going to be talking about, and then there was always this moment of, what's the correct name? Because for some reason I had saved it in my brain as Alec. And I kept trying to, I kept asking myself, is it Alec or Alex? And then it took forever for it to finally be like, no, it's Axel. And so there was a part of when I saw that this was like kind of a thing he says all the time. I was feeling very called out.
Which, what also draws me to his character that I love. I love his look. I have a thing for like the redhead characters with like it's a trope. The redhead, the fire powers, that's a whole other thing too. He has fire powers. And of just course. Hothead, passionate character. Like red. like I feel like a mirror of his character is also this super old anime. From like the early 90s called Fushigi Yugi. There's a character called Tosuke.
Okay.
And it's almost the exact same. Like I love that character too. So it's one of the types of characters that I love. And so I saw him and I was like, yep, that's it. I love him. And then you know, you get to know the character and you're like, yeah, I get that. I relate to you. And the wholesomeness that happens in eventually like Kingdom Hearts 3, where I get to be with my friends Shion and Roxas. Roxas gets to be here even though Sora's also here, although Sora, like I said, isn't there, funnily enough. But like he gets to reunite with his friends and like to a point even being like, oh, I forgot Shion. Because like I said, everyone forgot Shion. Mm. So when he remembers her, oh, my son has been brought to me. Thank you. Okay. Hi Tesla. I've been completely derailed. Okay. Yeah, so he realizes that he had forgotten who Shion was, and he's like, oh my god, I did the thing. The thing that I hate when happens to me.
Yes.
But it all comes back to him, and like, he does his best to almost sacrifice himself again. There's a scene in that fight scene. It's a long ass fight scene in the end of Kingdom Hearts 3 where he's fighting an old friend of his, actually, too. Issa, who I had mentioned was friends with him as a teenager, who had also joined Organization 13 with him and became Saix. And like, Saix calls him out after two of being like, oh, you chose these kids? Like you're friends with these kids, because Saix wanted to be with the bad guys when the Organization 13 split. And interesting. Like, you chose to hang out with those kids over me. And I've been friends with you since we were teenagers. Like, I put up with your shit the longest. And like they have a kind of like a rekindling where like Axel is like, hey. Like, I understand that you feel like I've forgotten you. Because, again, this whole thing of remembering each other, remembering your friends, and, like, who they are makes you who you are, and all that business. Like, he is able to, like, apologize in a way, reconnect Saix and say like, you know, I didn't realize you were that jealous. And
what communication skills problems? Who knew?
I didn't know that like you felt this way. And I thought we had just drifted apart and you were just looking to like raise ranks, basically. Like you were just trying to climb the ladder of the organization. And
yeah,
it was this lack of communication between them, as like Sykes is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be like the number two and I'm gonna be the right hand man, and Axel didn't care so much about that, and like naturally a drift happened.
Yeah.
And so in my head I always have the just the little like, oh, at the end it then is joined, where even now Sykes is part of Axel, Sykes, Fionn, Roxas sitting on top of the clock tower eating ice cream together. Wholesome. Yes. Aww. And I was so happy that he did get like his happy ending with all of his friends.
Yeah.
And everyone remembered who he was. He got it memorized and he remembered all his friends. And it's Axel has a lot of parts.
That sounds like super powerful for that. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it was funny because when I was originally, you know, kind of thinking through, I was thinking like, I had a question, you know, because I wasn't sure. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Or is it complicated?
Yeah. And it is. It is so complicated. And this episode is complicated. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, complicated is great, though. I mean.
Yeah. People listening in who don't know Kingdom Hearts are going to be like, what? Are they rambling about? Yep, and I am so sorry for those listening.
It's all good. You know that, but I mean, there's some series that are just they're like that. The you know the creators put a lot of work and effort into, you know, creating a really thoughtful, complex storyline, and I know I appreciate that.
Well, if you're in the know, listeners, you're in the know.
So let's talk about your relationship to Axel.
Yes. So for one, I like to make myself very memorable as a person. I kind of put it all out there. And this even being, you know, in real life and my, you know, online persona. But I have always been, pardon the word, but cringe. I am cringe and proud.
You are lovely.
Yes. In middle school, I remember I had a stuffed animal, like, I would bring to school with me. And sometimes it would change. So it wasn't specific.
That's so cute. That's so sweet.
It wasn't a specific stuffed animal. It usually be, like, a small beanie baby type thing.
Sure.
Because what I would do is I would put it on my head and I would walk around the halls with it on my head.
I love that.
And
that is adorable.
Like, because like it was kind of like my way of seeking attention. People would be like, even if they didn't know who I was, I'd go, oh, hey, you remember that kid who like put fucking stuffed animal beanie babies on their head every day.
yeah.
And to make it clear, I had played Kingdom Hearts when I was like 8 or so. I was in elementary school. And that's also why I'm into Kingdom Hearts. It is very hard to just get into as an older person with other commitments in life.
You have to kind of grow up with it.
Yeah, I grew up with it as it released. And even so, I still don't know anything.
Well, I beg to differ, but.
But yeah, so there was that. And like from middle school then, the way our middle school had worked, it was like a magnet school. Yeah. So there were like kids from other towns nearby who would go. And I, for high school, ended up going to a different magnet school. And all of my friends had gone to like the local tech, vocational tech school.
Sure.
And me being me, I said, I'm going to be a farmer. not really, but I went to the vocational agriculture
high school. Okay. Interesting.
I had originally gone because I wanted to be a veterinarian. Sure. But then the realization hit me that I am soft. And I would not be able to put down animals if they need to be put down. And seeing animals hurt every day and all that.
Yeah.
I like animals, but I like them too much.
that makes sense. I mean, that's kind of the reasons why, even though I have always been fascinated by and interested with medicine, that's why I never went into medicine, because there's some really hard stuff there that I don't think I'm emotionally qualified to deal with. You know, and not to mention, you know, that I'm just very squeamish in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally get that.
Yes. So that's the goal of me going into this high school. However, right. I settled into the plant science course for my 4 years there. And yes, it was called plant science. I wish it was called horticulture. I wish it was called botany.
Or,
even just gardening or something. I don't know. But no, it was just plant science. and that was all fun. But I missed my middle school friends a lot because they all went to that other school.
Mm-hmm.
At least what I ended up doing, which also forms a big part of my personality, is I became a mall rat.
Okay.
And so I would go pretty much every Friday to the mall with my old middle school friends.
Okay.
And it was a way of trying to keep connected, because I didn't want them to forget about me, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a hard time with that to this day of trying to maintain my friendships. And as you know, as we are friends and have lives, and
it gets really difficult when the older you get. It just, there's so many things happening, and it's so easy to go much longer than you think without, connecting with people that you love. And sometimes that really bites you in the ass. But yeah, I think I relate to that, what you're saying so strongly, because in a lot of ways I was very similar, and I don't know if for one thing I want to say, I don't think, while we're using the expression attention seeking, I want to kind of own attention seeking, because I think that it's always presented as a negative, ugh, look at that attention seeking behavior, which we all deserve attention.
Yeah.
And it's like a primary human need, to have someone, to have others, acknowledge us and care about us, in a variety of different ways. And especially when, you're a kid, if I know in my case, if I'm not getting that, in ways that are typical, I'm going to look for it in other ways.
Yeah.
And, for some kids, that's going to be wearing a beanie baby in your head, which is so adorable, and I love it. And, for other kids, it's going to be, kind of maybe acting out, being a class clown, And for me, it was, being a theater kid.
Yeah.
So I think that's such a relatable human need and human desire, and there's just so many different ways to achieve that attention, and some are positive and some are negative. And it sounds like one of Axel's challenges is kind of differentiating that positive and negative.
Yeah. you know, literally attacking your old best friend.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Trying to have a heartfelt conversation with an old friend, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard, too, because, like, you want everyone to kind of know what you're feeling at all times without having to say it. And I can relate to that too, where it feels like if I have to tell you what I'm feeling, or if I have to reach out to you and tell you, like, this is what I need, it doesn't feel as valid somehow. Like, I want someone to come up to me and say, hey, it's been a while since we've talked. How are you doing? And, you know, I can't expect that all the time because everyone has their own lives. But you get so used to living in your own bubble and feeling like when you feel isolated, that's how you're going to see it. And you need to be able to reach out and, like, let your feelings be known. You can't expect people to be mind readers. And I think that's what I love with Axel, is, like, he lets you know. He lets you know what he's feeling. He always goes out there and shouts it to the world, if, hey, you know, you're making me upset. Or, you know, hey, you know, you're my good friend, and, oh, like, what are you doing? You know, that anything as simple as that. And God, goodness.
It'd be good if we could all kind of do that too, just, you know, without all the misunderstanding and miscommunication that happens, and sometimes assumed communication, like there's no communication, so assumptions are made that, you know, aren't checked or tested. And
this person hasn't messaged me in forever. They hate me.
Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly. And, you know, and I mean, I do that, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's completely normal. Because you know, not that it's good, it's just normal. People, you know, we tend to assume the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a sense to prepare us for the worst. Because, like, you know, if you're expecting something bad, then it hurts less when it is bad. And, like, I know that has happened to me, where there were a period of time where then, like, friends that I had made in high school afterward had begun to ignore me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I did reach out. You know, I did what I thought was the right thing. And I said, hey, look, guys, like, you know, no one's been talking to me, like, what's up, like, are we gonna hang out soon? And I never got a response even from all that. And, like, one of my close friends at the time afterward had made, like, a public post, what do the kids call it now, like, retweeting, like, quote tweet or something like that. You know, the newfangled slang, good stuff. But basically I'd made a post saying, hey, you know, I thought this friend of mine was, like, a good friend, but then I should have listened to what all these other people were saying about
them. No.
And, like, at the time I was, you know, being ignored, and I reached out to this friend. I'm like, hey, do you have a problem with me? Are we good?
Yeah.
And I never got a response. So I
that sucks. That's really unfortunate that they just talk to you, and it's like you never know, and it's rough. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of communication. I think, you know, we can solve a lot of problems in this world if we're all a little bit better at it.
Yeah.
It is hard, and I think that, you know, it's a very human thing to want to shy away from things that are hard. And there are people, you know, of course, who are going to lean into the hard, but But I think there may be more of a rarity than we originally knew or suspected. And I don't know. It's I see that both in just, you know, personal relationships that fall by the wayside without anybody, you know, checking in or talking or anything like that. Yeah. But I see it on such a grand scale in the world.
Yeah.
As well, you know, where it's just easier to
move on to the next.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know, sticking with it is really difficult and energy consuming and requires a lot of a lot of sometimes uncomfortable brain power.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's I really relate to that that fear of kind of being forgotten too, and you know, and I've had experiences in my life where you know, it's like if you had just it would, what am I trying to say, like, you forgot me and that hurt more than if you had intentionally tried to hurt me, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
I think
the reason, at least I feel so incoherent, my incoherent babbling of all this is, I think this is all very primal kind of fears for, like, us as humans. Like,
yeah,
we are social animals, and as such, social, like, problems are what causes the most issue for us.
Right. Well, and it's like, I mean, that goes back, like, way back, because if you think about, you know, a previous society, an earlier society that would have used banishment, you know, as a punishment, because
and that could be even,
it's so even dangerous. Like,
well, why didn't you just execute me then? That feels worse.
So, I mean, there must be some just kind of like, I don't know, emotional trigger hardwired into our brains, you know, that, you know, being isolated is bad.
Yeah.
And, but it, and it, I mean, in some cases, you know, and of course there are people who absolutely thrive on,
alone time, to put it.
But, you know, isolation, like, I mean, there's studies that show, you know, how dangerous it is to, you know, a person's psyche and stuff like that, to be isolated and, you know, I mean, we all just experienced that pretty hardcore, know, and I mean, there's a lot of, it sucks that we had to go through it, but there's a lot of really good information that came out of that about, you know, what the consequences of that are, which is not to say, you know,
of course,
don't do that, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, quarantining was good. Yes, but, it sucked mentally. But,
right. You know, and that was really, really hard for some people, and and that's that sucks, you know, and but so it's like that that's really a relatable thing, you know, for just that to have that drive and that desire to be remembered and thought well of.
Yeah. Like, God, like, I'm still kind of guilty of this, like, at work, you know, I am always trying to be kind of the quirky one, trying to push this thing of like, oh, that's soy, there you go, that's who they are. And to the point where I know that there are people like who don't like me at work because of my I guess abrasive sometimes personality, my out personality. But it's like, I would rather you hate me than like not remember me, you know, like, like, it's like, oh, I know you don't like me, but you know who I am.
And I think, and it's, I think it, that's such, that can be a, like, I don't want to say dangerous thing, but I think that there's some people who definitely embrace that in a toxic way. So it's like, it's something to be very careful and cautious of, you know, and I think that having that self-awareness that you have is critical to ensuring that it's not a toxic, you know, thing. It doesn't turn into that.
And yeah, and I mean, like, it's not like I go around, you know, like, causing problems, but it's just more so, like, I think just talking, you know, talking my mind, you know, speaking my mind.
Yeah, well, it's like, I have that experience sometimes at my own work where they have such different interests than I do. I'm so much more of a homebody, you know, the fact that I love games, the fact that, you know, I do these nerdy things and stuff is not, most of them can't relate to me on that. But they're all much more like outdoorsy, you know, and, every time we introduce new people to the company, it's like they you know, they make a slide of themselves. And it's like 9 times out of 10 hiking is on the slide, you know, and I'm just so, you know, it's harder for me to connect in that way. I had to really learn to embrace that. For a long time, it was something that made me uncomfortable. Working from home actually really helped with that. But you know, even before that, I was just like, you know what, whatever they think of me, I'm done caring. And that was when I started bringing, like, all of my little, you know, figures and nerdy toys, stuff like that to work. So yeah, that, exactly. You know, they could keep me company, you know, and it was just like, if you don't know what that is, I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
If you see me fiddling with my toys, you know, while I'm working because I'm thinking or whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I had to learn, you know, it's like, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. That's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I am an acquired taste. you know, not everyone likes beans. It's a texture thing.
I love beans. Beans are wonderful.
God.
But on that note, thank you so much for coming on and talking, Axel. I know we've been trying to get you on for a very long time. I'm so glad that the time finally came. But yeah, I'm so glad that we finally got to talk about Axel. And he is definitely fascinating and complex, as the best of them.
Yes, I love his voice actor. Just to close this off, if you guys don't know Kingdom Hearts, guys don't really know it, just Google or YouTube, do the YouTube thing, you know, Axel, Kingdom Hearts, line, whatever, those compilations.
Yeah.
His voice actor is Quentin Flynn.
Yes.
He's been various things. I got to get his autograph, and I am very happy.
That's awesome. I love it.
That is signed on my copy of 358 over 2 days. Funnily
enough. That's so cool. That's so cool.
Yes. But yeah, no. He's a fun character. He's a sad character. He is complex.
Yeah. We love that. Yes. If people want to connect with you and chat more about Kingdom Hearts or Axel, where can they find you?
I am on the Twitter. That is at Soybean the Wolf, and honestly, pretty much anywhere else, I am at Soybean the Wolf. I am most active on Discord, probably around the server. So, just give me an at or PM and be like, "Hey, you know, here's my Axel fan art," and I'll go, "Oh my god, let me show you mine." There we go.
I love that. I love that so much. It's one of my favorite things about the Discord is seeing people who might not have met otherwise connect over like a particular character or a piece of art or something like that, and just warms my heart so much.
Also, like, any other just furries on here? Also, hey, what's up?
For sure. Awesome. Thank you again, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Pixel People podcast. Check out the show notes for links to the characters discussed and to connect with me and my guest. Want to be a guest on the show? Reach out to me on Twitter, Twitch, or Discord, and just let me know who you'd like to discuss. A huge thank you to my patrons, Six Sense, Beelzebub, and Aperture Flash, with a special thank you to Melbear, who has been a patron and one of my biggest supporters in every possible way since day one. An additional thank you to Elias Ali and Andy Brooks, who created our theme. You can follow the show on Twitter at PixelPeoplePod and keep up with me personally on Twitter, Twitch, and Discord. Enjoying the show? Be sure to subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I'd love it if you could leave a review. It helps more people find the show. See you next time.